check at 2:59 from the Voice of Labor. With summer shirts, beach towels, concert tickets, sailboats, and tennis rackets, and many other prizes yet to come in the last contest at Super CFL.
It's called Top 40, but at most major market stations anymore, it's not actually 40 records. They've cut the playlist back. It's pretty tight. It's usually about 25, 26 records. That's the way it originally started. The Top 40 stations played the Top 40 records. You say we play the most music when your disc jockeys are no good. That's right. That's, you know, if you got nothing else, you play the most music.
We're Top 40 Solid Rock.
Thoughts.
We have 98% penetration of the American public. No other electronic medium has it.
Radio has been an extremely resilient medium through every decade, and I'd like to think that there is another generation of Todd Storrs that will keep radio vital.
And the only way to have fans is to have a point of view to where people think, boy, they are talking to me. This is my station.
Getting a guy with a distinctive persona is so important in a radio personality. And a lot of managers are threatened by the fact that this guy sounds different than me. Well, of course he does. That's how people can remember it.
Attaboy, old hound. Hello, Moondoggers. How are y'all? This is Alan Freed, the King of the Moondoggers, and welcome again to another of your favorite blues, rhythm, and jazz rock and roll parties all over the Moondog Kingdom, in northern Ohio, up in Ontario, Canada, western New York, and western Pennsylvania. All the big ones and some new ones, too.
Even before Alan Freed queued up his first record in Cleveland, the electronics world was rocked by a new invention called the transistor. Before the decade was over, millions of teenagers would arm themselves with transistor radios, aim them at AM radio towers, and usher in the age of Top 40 rock and roll radio.
Mama!
Hang on, boy. Ray Charles, ladies. It's an old one, though. One minute, Julep. Emma! Yes, sir, you remember that one years ago, but Buddy Morrow, One Minute Julep. There it is, new style. Ray Charles and One Minute Julep, a little bit of soda. Well, it's 11:15 in the Middle West, WHV land time. 37 degrees in Arkansas City this morning. How are you out there? This is Wayne Stitt on Radio 1. Heart of America, WHV Color Channel 71. This station with a sound different.
Here's 710, yours truly, WHV.
With the weather, Kansas City to be cloudy and colder with 15 to 25 mile per hour northerly winds this afternoon. We'll have a high in the low 40s. Partly cloudy, a little colder tonight, low around 32.
The bar in Omaha wasn't much to speak of. But if you believe the story, it's where Todd Storrs and Bill Stewart figured Top 40 out. They were having a few pops after work when they noticed a young girl feeding the jukebox. And every time she slipped a coin into the box, it burped out the same song. According to legend, Storrs figured if a radio station did the same thing, that is, play people's favorite songs over and over, it could win.
It was all Todd Storrs, but what he did is he paid attention to what people did, which was play the same songs over and over again with their own nickel.
Walter Sabo.
And he combined it with a superior knowledge of his audience by reading some research, which showed him that as network radio died, there would be some forms of entertainment that would thrive on radio, and one of them was music programs.
I mean, radio at that particular point could have slipped into almost oblivion because of television.
Bill Meeks.
But these guys were such showmen and such promoters, they caused it to work.
When his daytimer KOWH beat the big full-timer across town, Storrs told the trades, the programming's out of our hands. It's controlled entirely by the public. And if they suddenly showed a preference for Chinese music, we'd play it. By the mid-50s, Storrs Broadcasting owned stations from Minneapolis to Miami. They were all built with a belief that the hit record is the common meeting ground.
If that ever stops working, we're all in serious trouble.
Steve Rivers.
But it'll never stop working because that's it. That's why people come to the radio stations. They want to hear their favorite hit song, no matter what the flavor is.
1954. Bill Stewart walked into KLIF, Dallas, and the tightening began. Just as he'd done in Omaha, Stewart played only 40 records. But there was more to Cliff than the music. Cliff's secret weapon was Gordon McClendon's promotional mind.
Well, he was the first one I encountered in my radio career who just thought, well, what can we do that's never been done before?
Ron Chapman.
Gordon McClendon would think up things off the top of his head and just go with it, and he had a feel.
This is the old Scotchman, Gordon McClendon. You might be interested in this.
And on this Thanksgiving, you listeners to KLIF certainly should be thankful for that guy because he's been giving away money all over the place. Right now, let's move along with music, shall we?
January to December.
They threw $100 bills from buildings and caused riots. They hid a check for $50,000 in a bottle and called it the Great Treasure Hunt. And yes, a listener did find it, but not before lawns and gardens were torn to pieces, leading concerned citizens to complain to the FCC. McClendon, like the P.T. Barnum of radio, laughed it off.
Brewed by the Falstaff Brewing Corporation. Brewing up a nice song for us, Bing Crosby and Grace Kelly. This is the one they did in High Society and the one that's riding near the top of everybody's hit parade. Number 3 here in Big D on the Cliff Top 40 survey. Here's Bing and Grace and the story of true love.
Suntan, wind blown.
And then
hear the swinging 7 DJs on KFWB. Live it up brightly round the clock with each musical MC. Step right up and meet 'em. Here they come parading by. And then you'll always greet 'em when you turn your thigh on high.
Bruce Hayes,
Al Jarvis,
Joe Yoakam,
Elliot Field,
B. Mitchell Reed,
Bill Balance,
Ted Quillen.
Hear the fabulous 40 and hi-fi for the music that you like best on Colorful Color Radio with the best DJs in the West.
1958. Former McClendon programmer Chuck Bloor returned to his hometown, Los Angeles, and turned the Southland on its ear.
In 3 months' time, we had a 45% share of the audience. Second station had a 9, I remember. We had 45, which was a very comfortable position.
And in New York City, not one, but 4 radio stations started pounding out what Alan Freed had called the Big Beat. The Messengers, says Mike Harrison, were the DJs.
Paul Sherman, Stan Z. Burns, Alan Freed, Jack Lacey, a young upstart who used to do the overnights called Murray Kaufman.
This is Murray the K, socking it to you, and as the fifth Beatle, I am delighted to bring you the pick of the week, baby. Paul does it.
That was the station that really got me going, and then that evolved into the great WMCA and the Good Guys.
Pack up all your cares and
go, guys.
We'll say hi when you feel low. We're the Good Guys.
O'Brien and Harrison, start your day.
Then come Spector.
Oh, my bay.
We're the Good Guys.
And of course, the greatest top 40 station of all time, WABC.
This is Napoleon the 14th. I'm utterly mad about cousin Brucey. Ho ho, he plays my record. He played it first. I know he did. He said he did. I heard him do it, and he's coming to take me away.
I just want to ask, would you like it if for the rest of the show we played nothing but Beatles records? Okay, you got a deal right here. Beatles music on your Ingram playing group on 77 Radio, New York Town.
The Beatles Spectacular is really booming. Woo! On 77 WABC.
Oh, you got to know it's good. Yeah, Scott Man. Show, what's happening?
Ringo is here. Ringo is here.
My older sister would listen to WABC.
Jimmy Steele.
And Dan Ingram, who just sounded like he was having the time of his life every single day. I heard this guy having so much fun, making people laugh, and figured he's probably making a decent buck.
WABC!
I think up until the Beatles, the disc jockey was probably
Joe McCoy,
if not more important, as important as the artists were.
I think certainly the jingles and the style of production really helped back then, where everything was exciting, everything was immediate.
Lee Abrams.
You know, weather was an exciting event. A news bulletin, my God, you know, this is like, you get chills.
Dallas, November 22nd, 1963.
The president is clearly, gravely, critically, and perhaps fatally wounded. There are strong indications that he may already have expired, although that is not official. We repeat, not official. But the extent of the injuries to Governor Connally is a closely shrouded secret at the moment.
President Kennedy is dead, Gordon. This is official word.
The president is dead. The president, ladies and gentlemen, is dead at Parkland Hospital in Dallas.